you can guide the responses for, to the various questions to the team that you are there with. Thank you, MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will suggest, with your indulgence, that we take the responses from the team, starting from the Metro CZ, and then I will be the last, the CEO of Metro CZ. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable MC. I think my questions directed to the SEZ, it relates to the nature of support that we provide, such that it doesn't attract corruption in that. I just want to make it clear to the committee that this nature of support is such that it's basically non-financial, in the sense that, for example, the ATEX incentives that we are offering within the zone. So we have realized that the investors don't understand how these incentives work. As you know, that they are quite technical. So what we do is we arrange for workshops that are being conducted by SARS themselves, and they encourage us to bring the investors and tax consultants, as they always mention that we are not trained as tax consultants in our own spaces. So we convene such workshops in Pretoria, and we coordinate our investors, and that is beneficial to our investors. And the issue of the other support that we provide is the support just to indicate and open doors, in the sense that most of the investors don't know where to tap in terms of their OPEX budget. And one of the requirements of the SEZ is that you need to demonstrate that in terms of your state of readiness to operate within the zone, that you do have a OPEX budget. So we also provide them with the contact details of those funders, like the DTIC Black Industrial Funds. We work together with the DTIC in that regard, so that where we refer our investors. And where we provide letters of support is when we have done a proper due diligence because of the capacity problems that we have currently, that we even outsource that process, that we ensure that, you know, it's been interrogated by relevant skills like legal and accounting firms that needs to look at these applications. So we are comfortable as such regarding that. There was, I think the second one was the issue of, I think it's a sort of rebate that we offer, where we request the investor to self-fund either their renovations or their top structure. And this process is legit, in the sense that the investors, in most cases, they go and loan funding, capital funding from the banks. I'll cite an example of Steinberg Park, which is operating within the zone. He has borrowed 68 million from the bank to build that structure. And they are building the structure on government land. They enter into a notarial lease, and this is captured clearly under the lease document, which is interrogated by their legal firm as well as our firm. But this, I must say that this is also a beneficial to the state, because at the end of the term of the lease, that structure, that asset will belong to the government, but not to the investor. So I think it's clearly documented in terms of the legalities and the lease that manages that sort of an arrangement between the SEZ and the investor. In terms of the capacity of the zone to operate, going on outward missions and looking at other SEZs that we benchmark with, like Yokoha, it takes time for the SEZs to fully operate at their own capacity. I always set an example, for example, that an SEZ doesn't be given a budget to go and build a school and that. However, you need to hunt for an investor. Along the way, they need to demonstrate that they are ready in terms of capital to operate besides the factories and infrastructure that we provide to them. So this is quite a tedious process and it takes a while. Hence, it's quite critical that you source your investors out of your pipeline to have a healthy pipeline to really assist the SEZs. As we speak, we were designated, as mentioned, in a brownfield with existing factories which are dilapidated, as mentioned by the FGC. So I can say that the occupancy rate for now is still at a very infant stage, but looking at our pipeline, we are confident that it will be accelerated. And also once we are funded properly in terms of our capital budget, in ensuring that we've got proper property facilities management, we've got those assets are migrated and are properly funded. I think those factors which have to be refurbished will also contribute to the acceleration of the development of the zone. A chairperson, I think from the SEZ, those were, unless I have missed some of the questions, I will then revert back to them. But I think from our side, those were the questions which were raised. Thank you, chairperson.
Thank you very much. The Industrial Park CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, there were a couple of questions. Let me go through them as they were asked. I think the first one was from Honorable Mbuyani, where a question was asked around targeting black industrialists, women and disabled people. Indeed, we have this as part of our target to say we have to assist black industrialists, we have to assist women, and we have to assist people with disabled. It's part of what is targeted, and it's part of my targets that I cascade down to my team, that we have to, as we do work in terms of getting tenants in, or we do finding available, we specifically target black industrialists, women, and people with disabilities. The second question, Chair, was around the alternative power supply for the parks. We are doing a test case with the intervention of the DTIC through what is called National Clean Air Production Center under the Eco Industrial Program, where that solar photovoltaic installation is currently being piloted. So once that works, and we are happy that it will take the load of ESCOM, it will roll out throughout the park and also in the other parks in Botshabelo and Tavernche as well. So we are seriously looking at green energy, Chair. And Honorable Malimeja asked a question. I think there was a question around own funds to upgrade the factories. And I think MEMPO has answered there to a large extent. But if I can just elaborate a little bit around the safeguards we put around such a process to avoid the what you refer to as state capture, is that where we've got an opportunity, we advertise and invite everybody via a process which is run independently. We just finished a process where we availed the residential blocks of flats in Kwakwa. We advertised and people ran a process, and the most qualified people to run those flats have been awarded those head leases. So we make sure that we're not found wanting as far as process is concerned. So we try and run as clean as possible and to avoid the corruption and the like. Also, Honorable Minister said he wanted to see massive funding of SMEs. This is something that we want to do, and I think we can. We've got the systems in place and the processes. What we don't have is funding. But in that respect, Chair, we are opening and knocking on many doors. And the latest one that we have now is the NEF and the IDC that want to start a core fund with the province, where they will put in money into a fund, and the province must put in matching rent for rent, and that money will be administered by the FDC to start massively making an impact in funding SMEs in the province. So there are things that we're doing around that, and hopefully, or the next time we meet, we'll be giving statistics of what we have achieved, and pray and hope that this funding is made available. Honourable Mutong, I note the fact that you echo that there must be oversight, a visit to go and see on the ground the things that we're speaking about. And I think for the MEC, you asked a question around the qualifications of the board members that is employed. I think the MEC will speak a little bit about that. Honourable Sling, the question that you asked is very important. Why was the degradation allowed to take place? These factories are from the 80s, and I think due to age, that has happened. And unfortunately, since 1994, like many of our public infrastructure, there has not been much money allocated towards the refurbishment, which is a little more than just the maintenance. Because as the committee would appreciate, if you have a car, you can maintain it at some point, the engine fails, you need to replace major components and things like that. So this is what was required, is funding for these major components that have failed or that are now obsolete. So that funding has not been made available due to the competing allocation of funds to the social budget of the country. So we suffered the same fate as many other infrastructure related type installation of the government. So what are we doing to make sure it doesn't happen again? So to the extent that we have upgraded and replaced major components and other things, we have asked for the budget, because these are still new installations, these new phases that we have. We have asked for the budget from this year, which hopefully will come, to make sure that we maintain what has been donated to us by DTSC via DBSA. So there is a process of making sure that we look after what has been donated to us and that we maintain them. But obviously in 20, 30 years' time, they will still need to be replaced again. So I think forward planning, it's going to be key and critical to making sure that we keep the infrastructure as it is. Chair asked a question, and the chair's question was around, I want to open something here, Chair, just allow me a second. Is there a plan to attract more tenants in the parks, and also the numbers in terms of vacancies in the park? Chair, I just want to put context to this and say, in Kutali Chaba, let me start with Kutali Chaba. There's a total of 144 factories, and currently 103 are occupied. So there's 72% occupancy rate, and the 41 that are vacant, a lot of them, they need some work. They need some work to be done on them in order for them to be occupied. And we continue to look at alternatives between funding from the DTIC to private funding to upgrade this facility so that they are fully occupied. So 72% vacancy in Butabelo. And in Kutali Chaba, Chair, that's where we've got a bit of a challenge. We have 296 factories, and currently there's only 178 that are occupied. So there's 118 that are not occupied. And the reason being that intermittent supply of water and electricity is proving it difficult for us to attract the tenants. We do get the tenants, but they don't move in because they worry about the sustainability of their businesses without supply of water and electricity. So that's on top of the fact that a lot of them are deliberate and they are not in a good condition. And but we that's why I was saying I'm hoping for Kutali Chaba that a Bloomwater and Eskom come to our aid and establish stable supply of water and electricity so we can take advantage of the pipeline that we have of tenants that want to go in. And the Interbantu is a small park. There's only 8 factories. 4 of them are occupied and the other 4 are not. But there's a huge demand for the 4 that are there. But it's also a lot of vacant space that we can have other people put up their own structures on the loan lease. So those are my answers, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Then MEC Mohale.
Thank you very much once more, Chair. I'll start with the question asked by Honorable Motaung on the qualifications or the the skills profile of the newly appointed board. I'll start with the chair, Mr. William Ngutu. Mr. Ngutu is a professional in the legal field. He's a property law specialist with over 19 years of experience in the field. One of his experiences, he has been the registrar of deeds in one of the northern provinces. He holds various qualifications from BProc, LLB, and he is a qualified governance professional by Chartered Governance Institute of South Africa, and all the other qualifications specializing in contracts and so on. He is now practicing for his own account, specializing in property and corporate governance. The deputy is Mrs. Gumede, who's a female, with a wide range of management, with a specialization area around the marketing and the stakeholder management, with a vast experience in the private sector, spanning of more than 15 years, part of which has been at Eskom, has worked with the SANRAL. She holds a degree in social science from the University of the Free State and specialized degrees in enterprise risk and the project management. The third member is Dr. Mutong, with a Master of Science in Business Analytics and other Masters in Business Administration, a specialist qualification diploma in property, who's also a medical practitioner of more than 30 years in practice as such, but has also been a CEO of a private entity specializing in the medical supplies and the medical consultancy. The other one is Mr. Lesekele, who's an IT professional, being a business analyst with more than 6 years in the IT space, with a BTech in project management, a diploma in business analytics, national diploma in IT, and a postgrad for the honors in business administration. The other one is Mrs. Motswana, who holds a degree BCom in accounting, a postgrad diploma in business administration, a senior management development program, who also has more than 10 years in the finance and credit management field, having occupied various positions at senior management level, being a finance manager, regional manager, and all those other related finance qualifications. We still have one vacancy which we are awaiting the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition to forward the name, because in terms of the regulations, we need to have a representative from the BTIC. We hope that they will soon forward so that we can complete our board. That's how qualified and experienced that team that we have appointed, in line with what we have committed ourselves as the provincial government, that from now on will ensure that we appoint people that will really add value and try and be helpful to all the entities and the structures which we are putting in place. So we have tried to have that combination of the of the skills. But on the challenge, or one other issue I need to reflect is that the majority of them are still very youthful. I think it's only Dr. Mwedi who is in his 50s, the chair is in the 40s, the rest of the members are below 30, and the deputy is in the late 30s. The rest are quite young, below 40, and some in the 30s. That has been our approach even with the board of the FDC, that we are trying to give young people with the skills a chance to bring that energy to effect a change. So we're moving towards a situation where we're being youthful in terms of our governance and management as practice. But the other issue on the challenges that we face as a province in relation to the methods is that I think it's a funding model of the sector. The economic cluster is the only sector which does not have grants that devolve directly to provincial government as compared or relative to the others. Chair and the honorable members would remember that if you look at the social cluster, the provincial departments survive largely on the grants in Department of Education, Social Development, including human settlements. The money comes directly from national and then they're able to. That's not the case with this important sector, which all the other sectors are reliant upon, because we always believe that if we can do well in the economic cluster, actually we'll make the work of everyone else much easier. We'll cut the long queues at social development, we'll cut the long queues at human settlements, people will be self-sustainable. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, this is a sector at the level of the provinces which get the smallest or none, if one may put it that way. The only reliance we have in terms of the national sphere is our working together with their agencies, with their own priorities, with their own authorities, which we have. The only power we have is the power of influence, but we may not be able to be certain as to say concretely out of this allocation to any of the DFI, we want to reinforce this to serve this particular purpose. We are unable to do that. So perhaps it's a debate for another day as to how then do we, in the long run, try and re-look into how the sector does not have a support, particularly the level of the provinces. More so when in small provinces like the Free State, where the large chunk of the money, for obvious reasons, had to be prioritized to the social cluster because of the nature of the needs that people need. Kids have to eat at school now. We can't say wait a bit, we are still growing the country. It's quite a very difficult matter. If one may reflect. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges. But even ourselves at the level of the province, we are trying hard to try and lobby so hard, and we are getting support, I must say, even from the legislature to say, executive, change the way you view your spending patterns, prioritize the economy. Everyone is echoing the same voice. So as and when we find a platform, we try to amplify that call, that it's high time that government consciously prioritize in terms of funding the economic transfer. We have said ourselves as a province of the Free State that we are, our strength is with agriculture. We still believe that we have not optimized that. So we are consciously as a province trying to ensure that we develop agriculture, and the role that we play is to try and create the markets and opportunities. I must indicate that the hostility is in the market, but we have tried as a level of the province, because we have had what is similar to Gauteng, what is normally known as the township bill. Ours has just been tabled this year in the legislature. Public participation is done. We should be able to entertain it, hopefully in the new calendar year, we should be able to pass that law. One of the notable issues in relation to the current subject matter is that we are trying to close a gap between the mainstream economy and the small businesses. One honorable member correctly indicated that there needs to be more focus on the small businesses. One of the biggest challenges which we have listed in our approach to small business is the issue of the markets, because all these other investments that are done to support small businesses, if the mainstream economy is not creating opportunities for them, I can cite an example of those that are in the farming sector. They become the price takers, our poor farmers. In terms of the access to the silos, the price that they get their commodities in terms of price and so on. So I'm saying, as a level of the economic cluster, we need to provide an alternative and the markets and going directly there. And in all of this investment pipeline, as well as existing activities, we have started a process where we dissect every value chain to try and find where the small businesses can play a role. Because we are not just, our understanding is that they shouldn't, when these investments come, it's all about employment only. At the center for economic transformation drive is to create opportunities for small businesses to be self-sustainable so that they don't only rely on government as a source of the market. So it's one of the interventions through the legislative piece that we have tabled in the House to say, let's compel all businesses that come into the province and those that will do business with government, that they be compelled that certain percentage where they source their commodities should be from their small business, so as to create a demand for the production of a small business. That's one. But second one, Chair, and the last is that the challenges facing the local government are impacting quite serious on the SEZ. One of the issues that we have to do interventions was also to assist the Malutia Pofung, even in terms of our transformers, so that at least we can keep the lights on and the supply, not only for the zone, but also even for the nearby communities. So that unfortunate situation, complex as it is, unfortunately, it's not helping us. But to also try and mitigate some of the effects of those challenges over and above the challenges relating to economic infrastructure, we are also in line or within the context of the BDM. We have provided as a province a support to municipalities in terms of their economic plans, sector plans within their IDPs. And part of what we it came out very clear there is that we are trying to find a way of we're guiding municipalities to have incentives policy, all municipalities in the province. We just hope that they will cooperate to a point where that is implemented. Because one of the difficulties in the school state is that with all the challenges, it becomes very difficult for people to move from established cities where there is good infrastructure to move to the free state, where on top of the problems is the issue of the cost of doing business. We have conducted a study. Indeed, it has demonstrated, for an example, like in Mangaung, where we have Botshabelo and Coventry Industrial Parks, the cost of services is the second or the third highest in the country. By far, exceed Ekurhuleni, Cape Town, and all of those which have the industry. So one can just imagine if a person has to relocate from Kempton Park or Jamestown in the heart of good infrastructure, where there is skill and so on, having to come to Free State with an additional 500 kilometers. Obviously, a person would not even consider. So we are saying there needs to be at least one sweetener that will really bring or make people to consider, investors to consider the Free State as a choice. And we said, let it be built it in the policy that every municipality knows that consciously for purposes of job creation and economic stimulation. This is what we'll offer for the investors, hoping that at least it can change the situation around, because Chair, we are quite worried that there is great disinvestment out of the province of the Free State. Had it not been of the zone, I think the situation could have been worse. At least with the little benefits like tax concessions and all of those, it has been able to keep some of those establishments still within the zone. But other than that, we are faced with a serious situation. That is why all of those creative measures, even legislatively, that we're trying to bring to the fore to, in order to mitigate and ensure that we don't close shop at the level of the economy in the province of the Free. So those are just, in summary, at high level, the issues that also impact on the SEZ, which we are trying, on the other hand, to try and bring some sort of intervention, which I thought might be of interest to the committee. Of course, there are a number of main issues, interventions which we are doing, but I thought this could just be relevant for now instead of just taking the time of the committee with the other ones. But other than that, I really like to thank the committee for the responses that we are able to give. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I just check with Mr. Molefane, and I see Mr. Clausen is also on the platform, whether you have anything to add. You may speak, Mr. Molefane.
Thanks, Chair. I must say that we appreciate the progress made in the Maluti-Apofung. For the longest time, we did not have a board, and this was quite concerning for us as the DTIC. So we'll be taking it offline with the MEC and the team just to find out how we can collaborate and make sure that the SEZ takes off the ground. At the moment, we have appointed the BSA to help us with the rollout of the infrastructure, while the province is building up its capacity in the SEZ. So we do really appreciate the progress made, and we'll engage further. Thanks, Jefferson.
Mr. Clausen?
Thank you, Chair. From the side of the industrial parks and the pursuit to also include the activities in the township economy, we have sought to collaborate with both the National Cleaner Production Center through our collaboration with UNIDO, which we have an MOU to assist us to look into the problems and challenges that were cited around the infrastructure, and enumerating in detail all the other constraints within the park, such as the lack of consistent electricity. In the report, it's also cited the work that's been started to look at alternative forms of energy and quantifying what each business actually is losing in terms of water use, effluents that also get discharged. Sometimes often we see in the parks that's not taken care of in their management of the waste material that comes from those. So that these parks ultimately have got to start now behaving according to the green eco industrial practices and methodology. Because as we see the patterns of now investors, they are looking for places or industries which now could meet and help them meet their premium demands in terms of what they would ultimately want to sell their products to. So there is this eco-industrial development approach that we have adopted, and we are helping, working with the industrial parks too, so that we can match those. We are also now revising the approach of how we support the industrial parks. One of the other industrial parks which was rejected, of course, was oftentimes there's lack of a strategy, whether it's a business case, to indicate to us how they are going to sustain even the provisions of the infrastructure that would be made available through the grant funding or incentive from the critical infrastructure. There has been some chases through a report that was also published of how some of those elements and components which were funded by the state end up being vandalized. And, you know, other sometimes you find buildings being underutilized. So there is a need to look holistically into how do we develop the parks, considering the ecosystem of where that industry is located. With that, we mean we've got to be sensitive to also community participation. We are now also doing a study undertaking the various small industries that are operating in the townships. Through that, we'll be able now to locate these within precincts in the industrial parks themselves. So give opportunities for those companies that would be manufacturing and adding value to their project, but in a place where they can now have access to markets, formal, you know, trading areas, and also being able to maximize opportunities to access some of the value chains, which otherwise sometimes are provided for by well-established companies. So the view now is to bring in what we call a township manufacturing precinct within the industrial parks, which CEO also touched on some of the elements there too. We'll try and ring fence those with the security whilst we are working broadly with the industrial park. This is a way in which we think it will give a value, a shared value to the communities, which are critical, of course, in making sure that we build a sustainable industrial ecosystem where these parks are located. Our ongoing work currently has got to do a study which also is taking consideration what we have now, together with National Treasury, frameworked a path to address some of the deficiencies that have been raised. Key amongst those, it's how these industrial parks have been governed through some of the agencies. We need to see that all the rentals that are collected in these industrial parks go back to the industrial parks. And we can't shy away from that challenge, which is currently existing, not only in Botshabelo, but across all the other industrial parks. Just as an example, Chair, we have now concluded on some of the modalities with Gauteng, Northwest, and Mpumalanga, and we are now rolling in KZN as well. We are now rolling it out to other provinces in terms of then structuring how those accruals in terms of rentals are then taken back to service the clientele inside. Most of these industrial parks, they are also owing, having huge bills to Eskom. So we want to see that those kind of patterns which erode the potential of investment is kept at the earliest point. And we know that, you know, time is due because most of the companies are now leaving, considering that they have got these challenges. But we are now attending it jointly. We work with various like departments like the National Treasury. We work with the provincial structures of the district development model so that these are not taken through a piecemeal approach. The Department of Small Business Development is also on board in terms of addressing those issues that are related to individual SMMEs and enterprises as well. So we're looking forward to that. We will be producing a model, but also that illustrates currently case studies that are reforming how we should approach the revitalization of these industrial parks so that they can contain the jobs that already they have and then expand them further. It is worth noting that of the 13 to 15 parks that we have done so far, they currently employ above 45,000 people. And the critical aspect that's been raised in our discussions with National Treasury is the constraints that the municipalities are facing if we are not addressing them through the industrial parks, it will easily erode those numbers because the municipalities and the parks are not able to meet their bill in terms of electrification. Hence, then also the issue of how do we look for, you know, alternative forms of energy, solar, amongst those, so that we can address them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for those remarks, Mr. Klassen and Mr. Molefani. So the committee, just in conclusion, we are doing oversight over the SEZs and the industrial parks as part of our program of this committee. So sometimes it's physical oversight, like it was in April this year when we went to Mpumalanga. And then in September this year, we did a similar exercise with Limpopo on the industrial parks and SEZs. And I think after this presentation, members have expressed the need for us to do a physical oversight. So we will continue to oversight SEZs and industrial parks as a portfolio committee, and then we will also look at how we as a portfolio committee can, in our program for 2023, do a physical oversight and to check on progress, because there were very many challenges that were tabled here, some of them not so big, but I think we need to get it right if we look at the reason why we have SEZs and industrial parks. We need investment, both domestic and foreign investment, so that we can grow the economy and secure jobs. So may I take this opportunity to thank the MEC and his team from the SEZ and the industrial parks for your presence here in the meeting today. Thank you very much. Can I ask the committee secretary to share with us the program for the PC tomorrow?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the committee is scheduled to engage with the NCC tomorrow on the annual report and the first quarter financial and non-financial performance. Then the committees also can also consider some minutes, and there may be some committee business that needs to be addressed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And we also note for the record that the Honourable Burns Ngamashe has submitted a written apology to the committee, so that is recorded. Thank you very much, members. We see each other in the House later on. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Chair. Long live the Chair.